Hello, my dear monk friends. This is Christine Walters Paintner, your online abbess at Abbey of the Arts, a virtual monastery offering resources, reflections, and classes on contemplative practice, creative expression, and compassionate presence. And welcome to the first of a series of podcasts designed to support you in your own journey of becoming a monk in the world. And this podcast is divided into two parts. You are listening to part one right now, which are my reflections on the theme of the month, which is silence. And the second part of the podcast is a guided Lectio Divina experience, which invites you to move more deeply into that silence and pray with the passage from Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Being a monk in the world means for me choosing to live contemplatively in resistance to the world's demand for speed. To live mindfully and with intention instead of rushing through life. To savor my experience rather than consume it. And to remember that my self-worth is not defined by how much I do or achieve. And so I am called to make time for simply being. At the heart of contemplative prayer is an encounter with the Holy One, who mystics like John of the Cross tell us dwells in our hearts as a living flame of love. Contemplative living is really about relationship and extending that infinite source of compassion within us to ourselves, to others, to all creation. Those of you who know my love for animals, and especially my canine companion Winter, know that any poet who can write about the wisdom of dogs is guaranteed a place on my bookshelf. And of course, dogs are known for their heightened sense of hearing and smell. And I often wonder how my dog Winter experiences the world, what she notices that I remain oblivious to in a wash of urban hum. I wonder at what subtleties I miss. I ponder the possibilities. What does a flower sound like as its shoot first breaks through the soil of newly warmed earth? What is the noise a sea turtle makes as it slides its fins through the salty water of ocean depths? Can you hear the music of your ancestors dancing across the veil, as the Celts call it, surrounding you and calling you to a greater vision in your life? Do you listen for the song your own body sings as it grows older, its skin stretching to make room for all the wisdom contained within it? And could this song be as beautiful as the whisper of the stars that explode galaxies away in a profusion of color? Or perhaps as lovely as the grace of a dog or a cat who comes and puts her paw on your lap, her own not very subtle way of asking to be taken into your arms and reassured of love through word and touch? Are you listening? A few words from Thomas Merton. When your tongue is silent, you can rest in the silence of the forest. When your imagination is silent, the forest speaks to you, tells you of its unreality and of the reality of God. But when your mind is silent, then the forest becomes magnificently real and blazes transparently with the reality of God. When your mind is silent, the forest becomes magnificently real and blazes transparently with the reality of God. So silence requires practice, because in the course of our everyday lives, noise is the norm rather than silence. And sometimes we sit down to a time of silence and we're overwhelmed by the chatter of our minds. But through practice, we can become present to this inner chatter. We can become more compassionate with ourselves for the constant stream of thoughts that run through our minds, the constant commentary that we have, the stories we tell ourselves and make up about ourselves. So we often resist the silence because we're afraid of what will be revealed to us what we'll discover about ourselves there. And yet, this is really the only way to awaken fully to ourselves. We might be tempted to think that those who live in monasteries have the advantage over those of us living in the world. And we might even begin to dismiss our own capacity or desire for silence because it feels so hard wherever we are. But I love being an urban monk, a monk in the world, precisely because I know that being a contemplative is not dependent upon location. While times of retreat are essential as ways to return us deeply to ourselves, to find that stillness within, ultimately, it's in our daily lives that we discover the gift of silence and what it has to offer to us. The desert mothers and fathers have so much wisdom around this call of silence. And Amma Synclectica said, "There are many who live in the mountains and behave as if they were in town, and they are wasting their time. It is possible to be a solitary in one's mind while living in a crowd, and it is possible for one who is a solitary to live in the crowd of his own thoughts." Again, it is possible to be a solitary in one's mind while living in a crowd, and it is possible for one who is a solitary to live in the crowd of his own thoughts. So we could go off to a monastery thinking that that would be the ideal place for us to discover silence, and we could move inward and discover all of the internal noise and chatter that's already there within us. Or we can live in the world, in the cities, in the towns, and cultivate through practice our own commitment to silence so that there is an inner stillness that's cultivated no matter where we are. I live in the heart of Seattle in its most densely populated neighborhood, and my monastic cell is a small two-bedroom apartment which I share with my husband and my dog. And I love to go away on retreat, especially by the sea, but I would be fooling myself if I believed that living by the sea all the time would necessarily foster more inner silence for myself. Most of us have probably had the experience of sitting down to meditate and our minds are noisy with chatter and never seem to rest. But equally so, we've also likely had moments in the midst of life's frenzied pace when suddenly we're overcome by a deep inner stillness and peace about things. It may be the way the light is reflecting off a loved one's face, or just remembering to take a deep breath that called you back to yourself. The ancient desert monks wrote extensively about the kinds of thoughts we're likely to encounter in the silence of prayer, from anger to laziness to lustfulness. The practice that they recommended was to meet these thoughts and name them for what they are, perversions of ourselves, distortions of our true nature, distractions from the movement toward our deepest, most authentic self, but to do so with compassion. And then how they worked with these is to cultivate their opposites, which are called the virtues. So when we find ourselves impatient, we seek to bring in the quality of patience to our lives. When we find ourselves angry or resentful, we might bring in the quality of gratitude or appreciation. And so part of this work of meditation, of achieving this inner silence, is to notice the thoughts that are arising and to meet them with compassion and curiosity. If our mind is racing or we feel filled with anxiety or uneasiness, we can return to the breath as a way of calming our mind and our body. And we can then seek to cultivate the virtue in our hearts that helps us to quell the insistence of this anxious voice within us. We can slowly move to a place of releasing our thoughts altogether, where we open ourselves to the holy other in which we find rest. When I show up each morning for my own practice of being with silence in meditation, Sometimes that time is filled with abiding stillness. But more often there are waves of emotion rising. Sometimes there are feelings that were unexpected, ones I'd rather not experience. But the emotions are a bridge between the mind and the body. When we feel sad or angry, we experience it as both a thought and as an experience in our body. And what we often do is let our thoughts carry us far away from our actual experience and avoid feeling what's actually happening in the body. This is part of the practice. So I mentioned that my husband and I adopted a dog named Winter last January, and she was rescued after being abandoned on a farm and left to freeze to death. She survived, but her puppies did not, and it's taken time and the long, slow building of trust. But now, nearly a year later, she has settled in with us well. And I like to call her Ama Winter, like those desert mothers, because of the wilderness experience she's had, and because my dogs are always such a source of great wisdom in my life. And Winter is a quiet dog. She doesn't bark when someone comes to the door or when left alone for a little while. And when we first took her in, we joked that she had perhaps taken a vow of silence, that perhaps she was a white-robed monk living amongst us, which I still believe. But now that she's become more at ease with us and at ease in the world, we've found that the only time she does bark is out at the dog park when she wants to play with another dog. And her voice comes alive in those moments, inviting play, attention, and delight. And I've been thinking about her a great deal in light of the desert commitment to seeking silence. She offers me wisdom about what it means to be selective about my words. Cultivating silence is about making space for another voice to speak. Silence is really a presence rather than an absence. I can fill my day with endless words, or I can choose when to speak and when to keep silent. And how often do I engage in conversation and anticipate my next words without truly attending to what is being said in that moment? How often do I really listen? For the desert elders, silence isn't just the absence of sound, but a form of human consciousness. It was said of Abba Agathon that for 3 years he lived with a stone in his mouth until he had learned to keep silence. This silence of the heart is a profound place of moving beyond ego, judgments, and dualistic thinking to witness the presence of the divine. In the Rule of Saint Benedict, he writes in chapter 42 that monks should diligently cultivate silence at all times, but especially at night. This is the heart of being a monk in the world, carrying this silence into everything we do, letting go of the endless chatter that fills our minds and hearts and takes away our clarity. And even when we cannot control the external noise of the world, we can cultivate an internal silence and peace. The heart is the source of our words and our actions, and in biblical times and in the desert tradition, it was considered to be what's called an axial organ, meaning that it is the center of the physical and spiritual dimension of human life. So silence makes space within our hearts for grace to cultivate our lives like a fertile field. In silence, we can experience a sense of inner expansiveness, which makes more room for God's presence. We practice silence not just for its own sake. We cultivate silence so that we might hear another voice deeper than our own. We cultivate the conditions to encounter the presence of God. The only thing we can do is practice. Show up every day for just a few moments. Turn off the TV, the radio, the computer, the phone. Go into a room and close the door. It might even be your car. But close your eyes and rest. And voices will arise. But gently and compassionately, you can let them go, or you can cultivate the opposite qualities, and you can simply dwell in the space of silence. The writer Joyce Rupp, in her book Open the Door, A Journey to the True Self, says, "You stand outside the door, reading one more book about how to open the door. You note in your journal one more thought about what it might be like. Yet the longings of your heart remain. Let today be the day you open the door of your heart to God." That door is usually the door to silence, and you perhaps have read many wise and wonderful books about being contemplative, even listening to this podcast. You journal about what it would be like to have more silence in your life. You think all kinds of beautiful thoughts about silence, and yet how often do you actually make the space for silence to enter your being? How often do you simply let go of all the striving, the desire to do and achieve and make perfect, and simply rest into the one who is already perfect, the one who holds you in a stillness more beautiful than anything you can imagine for yourself? It is simply a gift to receive. Let today be the day you open the door of your heart and simply receive the silence. Simply listen to what is shimmering there for you. Thank you for spending this time listening to my words. And pay attention to the longings that they stir in you. But most important of all, keep showing up to practice. Keep making space for silence. Thank you for being with me. Many, many blessings.